Today's reading is taken from John chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world began." Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Trevor. And what a wonderful sight to see you all. I think the youth are just heading out now. I've been so blessed by hearing snippets from my daughters and my son who've been still coming along. But I just wanted to say how wonderful it is being back here with you. I have really missed you all while I've been on sabbatical. And I want to thank you for your prayers. I've felt that God has really met with us and spoken to us and replenished us and refreshed us. It has been so helpful. And these last few weeks particularly, I've just been longing for this time, this moment. And in fact, just this week, having the chance to see you all. It's been great hearing about new people who've been connecting. So if you don't know me, I'm Lila, Amy, and Jonah's dad. And it's really great to be back. And I love meeting new people. So I'm looking forward to meeting you as well. And if you're here connecting and you're in a time of change, I know I saw Josh and Ash and little Lily and their new baby Oliver, who were here for the first time this morning. So Oliver's just arrived. It's so exciting to see that. But I know they're also just about to move to Winchester. And we will miss you guys. And may God really bless you in that time of transition. So it's a time of change in all kinds of ways. But you know, wherever we are, the Lord is with us. And there's something particularly as we gather together that it is wonderful to experience and know the presence of the Lord. And I've been hearing and sensing just the amazing way God has been working in the church, the wonderful things he's been doing, the way his Spirit's been working. And I've been going, praise the Lord, amen, that's so exciting. And I've been so encouraged, even as I've visited real different, diverse selection of churches across the city in the UK. I've just been so encouraged by what God is doing here and the way he's working. So I want to encourage you, church, whether you're watching online or in person, it's amazing to just be part of this family, as Dan was saying. And I want to really honor the leaders who've done just such a phenomenal job in this time. Tim, I want to particularly just honor you and just say, you know, we see God's gracious hand upon your life in so many ways. And it continues to be such a privilege to lead this church together with you and just to see God's hand at work. And, you know, it's been quite a few years, hasn't it? You know, I was thinking about "That Great Is Your Faithfulness to Me" song. You know, I'm so thankful for God's faithfulness these past few months. But I was also, I don't know if you keep a diary. My wife keeps a little short little diary, little paragraph for each year. It's kind of a five-year diary. And so you can easily see what was happening in the years back. You know, 2 years ago was like our first week of lockdown. And I think, you know, in some ways, one of the hard things about COVID is you keep thinking you're through it. And I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm hearing more people at the moment with COVID than I've heard of for ages. You know, and this is tough. I go visit other churches, and it's been really tough. And I don't know how you're doing today with it all the uncertainty. But I want to say, you know, I was remembering, do you remember those times right at the beginning where it had like coronavirus, stay home, save lives? And you know, it's been challenging. And then just at the point where it felt like it was easing from being in the news, and then there was this massive, huge kind of shaking in our world with the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. And again, as I've been hearing and reading the news as you have, my heart's been, you know, breaking for the situations and the people in Mariupol, even today and other cities. And I'm thinking, God, please, would you be at work? And we've been praying as a family, but I've been longing to pray with you guys. And so this past week, to come into a world prayer night and to come in to that kind of Lent prayer on a Thursday morning as well and to hear your voices, it's been an absolute joy. You know, my eyes closed as we were just having that time of prayer on Wednesday night, and I started hearing voices, and I thought, oh, that's Margaret's voice. Oh, I love Margaret, that she prays. It's so good to hear her voice. Oh, that's Lee. Oh, it's like, oh, that's Philip. And I just thought, God knows our voices. God loves your voice because he recognizes it. He loves hearing you pray. And as we come to overhear this prayer of Jesus and we see the kind of intimacy we have, guys, let's lean in. Let's learn in this wonderful prayer of Jesus that we're going to be looking at over these next few weeks. It's in John 17. Trevor read it for us. And I want us, as we kind of listen in, you know, I've learned so much over the years by listening to people pray. Hey, how much more as we listen to Jesus pray? I love this quote by Sinclair Ferguson. He said, "This whole chapter is like a stethoscope through which we can hear the Savior's heartbeat." Isn't that beautiful? So come on, listen in. And let's listen to Jesus' heart together. You ready? This is what Jesus prays. He said, "Father, Father." He always prayed Father. Because he knew God, the Father, as the one he could relate to and talk to so familiarly. And you know, one of the amazing things in Jesus is that it was so radical. I mean, to us, it can sometimes feel normal. But to the people of Jesus' day, as they heard him pray Father, they got so incensed and infuriated that that was kind of one of the things, along with a whole bunch of others, which made them think, this man needs to go. We need to kill him. Because it was so radical for the time. And it wasn't just radical that Jesus prayed, Father. He taught us to pray, our Father. Like that picture that Dan was describing, that Penny was sharing. He's our Father. As we lean into the heart of Jesus, he wants to draw us into this amazing relationship that he has with us. He is our Father. And then he goes on and says, "Father, the time has come." This is a moment. This is a kind of a key point in all of history. Jesus is about to go to the cross the next day. In fact, this is a moment that has been kind of planned for before the dawn of time. This is a moment which has kind of eternity in mind, but it also has tomorrow in mind. And Jesus prays, "Father, the time has come." Do you find in your prayer you can just kind of come and just say, "God, this is where I'm at right now. This is the moment I'm in." And then listen to what Jesus prays. He prays this. He prays, "Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." In fact, in this prayer, three times in these few short verses, right at the start, verses 1-5, we have reference to this kind of word glory, the glory of God. And it's amazing that this prayer, probably before Jesus leaves the upper room, so he's still with his disciples, he's not yet gone into the Mount of Olives where we know he prays in the garden, but at this point, his prayer is not for protection or for peace or even for strength to get through what is coming. His prayer is for God to glorify him that he may glorify the Father. You see, the two are intertwined. It's a bit like a kind of family business, like Fox and Sons, you know, that glory for one is glory for the other. So what is glory? What is glory? Well, we've been thinking already in this service, this kind of sense of splendor, or actually, if you look back in the Old Testament, this word glory has this sense too of kind of a weightiness, something so solid and heavy, almost kind of gravitas, that everything kind of orbits around it when it's in its right orbit. You know, I found it so helpful over my sabbatical reading a bunch of books, but this was one that was just a delight. It was called The God of All Things. And in it, Andrew Wilson, he just takes some physical things and describes what they kind of point us to spiritually. And he has a chapter on glory, and he talks about when the kind of earth shakes. And often in the Bible, you see when the glory of God descends, it's like something so heavy coming down that it kind of causes everything to shake. The earth shakes because the glory of God has come down. And you know, there's so much there that I just encourage you to kind of look and think about in the scripture, but it's so helpful. Even as I was this past week, I don't know if you've been kind of like just enjoying the sunsets. I have the privilege of living quite close to the sea and went down one day and it was low tide as well. And the sun was setting. And it was like everyone on the seafront and people that seemed to kind of be drawn down there was just stopping, still, looking, watching, kind of drawn in awe as the sun set. And of course, it's not that the sun is going around us, we're going around the sun, but it kind of held people captivated. And as we've been hearing, you know, we know, don't we, actually, that the sun is just a little star in our galaxy, in our universe, and Jesus is the one over it all, God, the maker of everything in his glory. And we still our hearts in his splendor and weightiness and solidness. And this verse 2 helps us see something about his glory. There's so much about his glory. But look what it says in verse 2. For you granted him authority. There's something of a link between glory and authority. Jesus is the one who rules and reigns over all things. I love this bit in a book by Dame Orland. It's his new book. It's actually called Deeper. We're in a series called Growing Deeper. And this is what he writes. As you wade into this book, let me propose an idea. Let me suggest that you consider the possibility that your current mental idea of Jesus is the tip of the iceberg. That there are wondrous depths to him, realities about him still awaiting your discovery. We were singing when we opened the eyes of my heart, Lord. And then he goes on and talks about this thing that Jesus rules. Jesus has authority. He says, Jesus exercises supreme authority over the entire universe. He is in charge of all things. And it says the world's sidelining of his authority does nothing to reflect the reality of that authority. From heaven's perspective, he is working all things out. Our perception of and ability to see his rule may wax and wane, but the perception, it's perception only. His actual rule holds steady, supreme, strong, exhaustive, all-seeing. Look back with me here, John chapter 17. For you granted him authority over all people. You and me, your neighbor, the government, other governments, all people. Now, I don't know what you would do if you had authority over all people, but here's something amazing about God. Jesus, with the authority he has, chooses to do something remarkable. It says here that you granted him authority over all people that he might give. That he might give. Jesus uses his authority to give and to serve, like in the beginning of this kind of upper room discourse that you looked at right back in January in John chapter 13 verse 3, where it says that he did this. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And so he got up and washed his disciples' feet. You see, that's how this authority of God shows itself in loving, generous sacrifice and service. He comes to give us something wonderful, to give something that will bless us. And so his glory and our blessing are linked. His glory and our enjoyment go hand in hand. That's why when the kind of church leaders in this country met in 1646 and sought God about what was the Bible saying is the chief end of man. They wrote this. They said, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, because they're linked. Don't you find, I'm just here and I'm leaning across to Laura and saying, as we're worshiping, it's so good to be back. This is wonderful. Because to glorify God is what causes joy to spring in our hearts. You see, as we listen to the heart of Jesus, we see his heart for glory of God, yes. And we see that that heart for God's glory is linked to his heart for us. And we're going to explore more about that in the coming weeks. But you know, as we see what Jesus wants to give us, we see something amazing. We see that what he wants to give us helps with these massive things that we've been dealing with in our world. He wants to give us, look with me, verse 2, that he might give eternal life to those who you have given him. In a world where COVID is still spreading, in a world where wars rage, there is one who has power not just to come and bring medical aid or weapons or a kind of a physical aid, but who can come and bring eternal life. He wants to give you and I eternal life. So that's the second then and last thing I just want us to see as we come towards the end of this passage. I want to encourage us not just to listen to Jesus' heart, but to receive Jesus' gift. He wants to give us something. Look how he goes on. He says this, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. If you want to receive this gift of eternal life, it is about knowing God. The two are intricately linked. If you want to know eternal life, you need to know God, because he is the everlasting one. And in fact, the way you know God is the Father is through the Son. The two there are linked as well. It's not just a head knowledge, but it's a heart encounter and knowing of this one who has come and been sent into our world. I some time back asked the church whether you would prefer endless life or abundant life? No, have a think. Endless life or abundant life? And the tricky thing is, if you think about your life now, just kind of continuing that, it doesn't quite feel satisfying, because our life now is filled with pain and hurt and shame because of the wrong and the sin we do, because we have often resisted that loving authority of God. I do it, you do it, we do it, others around us do it, and it hurts, and it messes our world. And so if we just had an endless life of that, it wouldn't be great. But you see, this passage and this verse shows us that God did something to help us to deal with not just that problem of death, but that problem of sin. He sent his Son into the world. Did you notice he said he was sent? What was he sent for? Well, look, verse 4 can help us there, because he says, look, I've brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. So what was the work that he was given to do? What did he complete? Well, as you stick around with us, and I hope you do, we're going to celebrate shortly Easter and Good Friday, and we're going to read from John's Gospel on Good Friday this wonderful word that Jesus cries out on the cross. It is finished. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, not just kind of throwing us the kind of armband so with our help and a little bit of his help we kind of struggle through. No, I desperately needed his saving, his rescue, lifting up when I was drowning. And he has come. Jesus has come to save me and you. That is what he's done. That is the work he has completed. And it gives you and I security, because we receive eternal life. And not just an endless life, but a changed, new, abundant life in him that he wants to give you today. You know, when I saw that scene on the seafront, I saw the sun setting, the low tide, and I thought, you know what? The family were all at home. I thought, they're going to love this. So, you know, I literally ran up and thought, quick. And I said to them, look, just please, just come down. You know, they're all doing different things. And I said, look, just come and see. And if you want, then you can kind of come and walk on that low tide, there's sand there. And they kind of know there's sand. But you know what they did? They came and saw. And I want to say thank you, whether online or in person. You've kind of come and seen something of, I hope there's something special and wonderful about this Jesus, this one who rules and saves, this one who loves you enough to die for you. But when they got down, they didn't just stay there on the stones. They went and stepped onto the sand. They went and kind of didn't just know it in their head. They had a personal experience of this kind of moment. And one of the things that we're about to do is we're going to have someone be baptized. And baptism is a time of someone saying, you know what, I've come to this place where I want to be identified with Jesus. I recognize that he has saved me. And so one of the questions we ask people is this question here. It says, do you repent of your sin and believe in Jesus Christ that he died for you and rose again so that you could be forgiven and have eternal life? And someone, Rachel in this case, is, as we've been talking to her, we kind of know that's what she's able to say yes to. And I wonder this morning, as we come to this amazing invitation to receive this gift, if you yourself want to come and repent and believe to say, God, I need your rescue. I want to know you. I want to know you personally. I want, as it were, to step onto that kind of low tide sand and experience what it is to have you in my life, not just kind of know something about you. And if that's you, I would love to lead you in a prayer right now. We've got a prayer up on the screen here, and it's a prayer of invitation. It's a prayer of receiving this gift that God gives us through his death and resurrection. And it says this, Lord Jesus, I want to know you in a personal way. I'm sorry for ignoring you and disobeying you and living my life my own way. Please forgive me. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. That's where he completed that rescue work. And for rising again and conquering death. Please, I believe you have authority to give me eternal life, and I receive your gift. Please come into my life as my Savior and Lord and help me to love and obey you with all my heart. My heart is so full today coming back. But I just couldn't miss an opportunity just to invite you. If you've never prayed something like this, come and receive this amazing gift. So why don't we bow our heads? And if you want to echo this prayer in my heart, in your heart, if you've never done that before, please do that with me right now. The band's just going to come and be playing in the background. The Lord is here. He hears us. Just in your heart, you can echo these words. Lord Jesus, I want to know you in a personal way. I'm sorry for ignoring you and disobeying you and living my life my own way. Please forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and rising again and conquering death. I believe you have authority to give me eternal life and I receive your gift. So please come into my life as my Savior and Lord. And help me to love and obey you with all my heart. And if you pray that prayer, the Lord Jesus hears it. He's given you forgiveness and eternal life. And just with every head bowed, I know sometimes people find it helpful just to kind of acknowledge and raise a hand and say, kind of mark a moment and say, you know what, I prayed that. I've started a new life. If that was you, would you just, with every head bowed, just raise your hand and let me know. I've got a little book I'd love to give you on the door. Thank you. I just see a lady downstairs raising her hand. Anyone else? Lord, you know what's going on in each and every heart. Thank you for this other person as well. Lord Jesus, just keep working by your Spirit in this time. And just as we continue on in a moment, we're going to have the baptism and the children are going to join us. I wanted to just say, you know, baptism is that sign of a new birth. Maybe you have prayed something like that in the past, but you've not been baptized. You've not identified with Jesus' death and resurrection. And I just wanted to say, we usually, and today is no exception, we've got spare clothes. You know, so whether you want to be baptized today, if you repent and believe, and or whether you want to be baptized on Easter Sunday, I would love to journey that with you. In a moment, I'm just going to go out by the front doors so you can come down the steps while the children are coming and just find me, or if you're downstairs. But if you're here and you'd like to kind of find me out there just in this next song, will you just raise your hand to talk to me about baptism? Just give me a sign if that's something you'd like to talk. Great, Steve, that'd be fantastic. Anyone else just want to talk with me outside about baptism? Okay, well, just if you do, just join me in that song, and I'd love to talk to you about that. And then finally, as we maybe just stand together, if you're able, would you just stand with me? There's a prayer I just was writing down as I was preparing, and it says this. Read. It's a longing that our hearts would glorify God, that we'd receive these amazing gifts He's won for us. And I want to just invite you to pray this with me out loud if you're able. Don't have to, but if you'd like to, just let's pray together. Should we pray? Heavenly Father, help me to live a life that glorifies You. Thank You for sending Jesus to save me. Thank You for the gift of forgiveness, eternal life, and Your Spirit. I receive afresh Your gifts. Help me walk with You in security and humility. In Jesus' name, amen.